So we're doing 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And tonight we're finishing 2nd Timothy. Next week we'll start Titus. These were two guys that Paul left behind in places that he trusted to run churches he had started. And in 2 Timothy 4, it says, I solemnly charge you before God in Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only me, but to those who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas has deserted me, because he loved the present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Dalmatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. At my first defense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the proclamation might be fully made through me, and the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesphorus. Erasmus has remained at Corinth. I left Trophus sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word. We just pray that we can take it to heart and we can learn from it and we can become better people from being exposed to it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Timothy was probably Paul's favorite. But there were others, as you've seen, that he knew and that he worked with. He tells Timothy, complete your ministry. Now, this is the way he did it. This is a very serious charge. He says, I charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead. I mean, this is serious stuff. He's making this, and he tells him, proclaim the message whether it's convenient or not. We get into situations sometimes where the most convenient thing would be to just blow it all off and go somewhere else. But you can't do that. You have to make sure that everybody gets a chance to hear. The time will come when sound truth will not be tolerated. Look around. You can see that. Today, we have all kinds of stuff. And it says they're going to find teachers who say what they want to hear. Once again, we're seeing that. You look particularly on some of the more liberal news shows, and they bring on all these people, and they have all of these titles and all this kind of stuff, and they tell you all of this absolute silliness that if you just sat down and thought about it, you realize this guy's an idiot. Mm-hmm. But that's what they wanted to hear. They wanted somebody to tell them, yes, what you believe is stupid, but it's the thing you ought to believe. They will find teachers who say they want to hear. But Timothy must endure hardship and evangelize those he's sent to. That's what Timothy's mission has been. You see, we're talking the beginning here, way back in the first century or just into the second century. And these are people who have not heard the gospel. Mostly they're Gentiles. The Jews will fight against it unless the Lord opened their minds so that they could see that, yes, Jesus was that Messiah I've been waiting for so long. But the Gentiles, they have no idea who Messiah is. So first you have to tell them who it is. You have to tell them why you need a Messiah and a Savior. And then you have to explain to them, this is Jesus, and here's what you do to hook into this. And then we see Paul's faithfulness. He says he's being poured out. How many times have I felt like I'm being poured out because everything just seemed to be going to blazes around me? I know the feeling that Paul is having. But he's very old. He's even older than me. He says his departure is soon. And in fact, it turns out it was pretty soon. He said he fought the good fight, he finished the race, and he kept the faith. Now, Paul is not one to brag on himself. If you follow through his epistles in chronological order, you find out that when he starts out, he's beating himself up because he's saying, oh, you know, I persecuted the church. I'm worthless. I'm just, you know. And then little by little, Jesus got through to him and said, look, I chose you. And the people I choose are not worthless. You're here to do a job for me, and you're doing it well, so keep doing it. And eventually you come to the point where he begins to talk to people and say, if you can't figure out how to follow Jesus, if you're not that close that you can see what it is you want to do, follow me as I follow Jesus, and you'll learn how this is done. He says he will soon get the crown of righteousness. Those who serve the Lord get a special crown of righteousness. There's a lot of people who have done things that they don't think is going to get them a crown of righteousness, but it will. You have people like the mother of Ben Carson, very low education, very low-paid jobs that she had, but she made sure her son got all the way through medical school because she knew that God had called him to a very special ministry, and he did. He became a pediatric brain surgeon. I have a special love for those guys because I go on the Right for Kids. It's probably seen Taylor that I. Each year we have people come up, and these doctors are in tears because they'll tell you there's this kind of thing, and then he'll say some unpronounceable word, and it's going to kill this kid. And I'm about to tell his parents, I'm sorry, your child is going to die. There's nothing we can do. And then in comes the letter from Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And it says, we figured it out. Here's what you do. And I get to go and I get to tell these people, your child has a brain tumor. Don't worry. I know how to fix it. God has a special reward for those people. Most of them know Jesus. You can't sit here watching little kids die and fighting to find a way to beat it without discovering God. Now, some of them get mad at him. They think, why have you done this? Others say, oh, please give me the way to fix it. And then they thank him when they get it. They have a special reward for what they do. There are people throughout my life that have made me who I am. That may make some people want to punch them in the nose, but what God wanted me to be, these people contributed to. He says, everybody who endures will get the crown of righteousness. Those who have stayed true to Jesus. And then he has final thoughts. This is the last stuff he's going to say to Timothy, unless Timothy got there before they killed him. He asked Timothy to come to him. He needs Timothy to be there with him. This guy Demas has deserted. Now you see, if you line up Paul's epistles in chronological order, you'll see at the end of them, most of them, you see this guy Demas. And you see that it's starting to decline. Starts out always a good guy. Then he's here at least, whatever. And now he's just left Paul in the lurch. Crescens is a guy, we're not sure who he was, but he was sent by Paul to Galatia, from which we get the Galatians epistle that Paul wrote to them. Titus was sent to Dalmatia. Now, Dalmatia is actually in Cyprus, which is where Paul sent Titus to, and we're going to see his letter to Titus next. And he says Luke is still with him. See, Luke started following Paul around as he was planting churches, and then he followed him as he went to Rome, and he stayed with him. And then it's very interesting. He says, bring Mark if you come. Now, earlier, if you read in Acts, you see that Paul and Barnabas got into a big fight over Mark. Because Mark, on the first missionary journey, Mark deserted them. He took off and went back to Israel. Paul didn't like that. And so he didn't want to take him again. And Barnabas thought, no, we got to take him. We got to train this young man. So in the end, Barnabas separated from Paul, and Silas was his partner that went with him. And Barnabas went with Mark. Well, Mark's also the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark, which turns out to be the very first gospel ever written. People get mad at me because I always refer to it as being quick and dirty. You know, he just wanted to get the word out as fast as he could. We think it was written in about 40 AD. But from that, the concept of a gospel went out. And Matthew based his gospel on Mark's. And Luke based his gospel on both of them. We believe Luke and Acts were actually trial documents that he had prepared to give to the judge at Paul's trial to explain what is this all about. which is why they're so extensive. Tychicus has been sent by Paul to Ephesus for the purpose of relieving Timothy so Timothy can come to Paul. And he asks for articles that he's left various places. He says, gather this up and bring it to me. And warns about this guy, Alexander the coppersmith. Now, the reason Alexander hates Paul is because Paul was taking people out of the worship of the Greek gods. And Alexander made the little idols that they used to worship the Greek gods. And so he told everybody, oh, you don't want any part about this guy. Look, he's ruining our business. No one was at Paul's defense, he says. But the gospel got out. He was able to tell. I believe probably it had to do also, like I say, with the book of Luke and Acts that were given as trial documents and that the people saw and they heard. This is what this new religion is about. And then he sends greetings to all these different people that he knows and who have been with him in various different endeavors. So what does this mean to us? Well, first, we need to stay the course. That's what he starts out with. Complete your ministry. Stay the course. Do what God sent you there to do and get it done. He would not ask Timothy to leave until he sent Tychicus to relieve him. He wants somebody there that he trusts to run that church because these are new believers and Gentile believers and they need somebody who knows something, unlike you who ended up with me. But at any rate, stay true through good and bad times. There are stuff that goes on. Sometimes it gets really bad. Sometimes the devil beats you up. The only thing you can do is just remember, Jesus wins in the end. It was a famous poem from the Korean War written by a medic about a guy who had been shot and he was bleeding to death. Nothing they could do. But all he wanted to know is, has the line held? And so they have a line in this poem that says, rest easy, my brother, the line has held. Another has stepped up and taken your place, and the line will hold. That's what we need to do. We need to stay through good times and bad times, and we need to pray that the Lord won't take us until somebody's in place to take our place. Don't give up, even if you're abandoned. Sometimes we feel so alone. Pat will tell you, I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. That I sometimes feel really alone. I feel like I'm the only one. It's not true, but that's just the way I am. And remember, God will reward you in the end. Zola Levitt said, the Bible is a book with the answers in the back. Turns out, Jesus wins. So remember, eventually you'll end up with Jesus. Wonderful story is told about this little girl, Rachel something, or Ripple Scott, I think it was, Columbine, and the boy said, do you actually believe in Jesus? And she said, yes, I do. And she told him what she believed. And he killed her. He said, okay, go see him. We believe she did because she stood in her faith with a pistol pointed right at her and took a bullet right through the heart because she wasn't going to turn her back on Jesus. We need to be like that, and it's hard. It's very hard. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Make us your people. Help us to stay the course through bedtimes and good times and everything, and not to give up. Even if we feel abandoned, we remember Jesus is still there and he'll take care of us. And in the end, we're going to go be with him. In the end, we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.